It's an old proverb that I believe was attributed to Benjamin Franklin, although half of everything we hear is probably attributed to Benjamin Franklin at some point, but it's a proverb that said, "For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of a message, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all of this was lost for want of a simple horseshoe nail." There are a number of lessons, number of applications that have been made and can be made from that kind of a proverb. But I want you to think about it this morning from the standpoint of who is it that's important? What is it in the church that is important? Here's a kingdom in this proverb that, well, it's just one battle. What difference does one battle make? Apparently made a big difference. Sometimes you might look at yourself and say, what difference does one person make? You make a difference. Somebody looks at that message that was trying to be transferred during the midst of that battle and says, well, there were a number of messages that had to be transmitted during that battle. What was one message? It was important. And so were you. And somebody says, well, there had to be a lot of horses. Here, back in that day when you went to battle on horseback, there had to be a lot of horses. What difference did one horse make? Apparently made a pretty significant difference. When you look at your place in the church, this morning what I want us to do is I want us to look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, just at this one verse. And I want us to come away from this with an understanding that each and every one of us is valuable in the Lord's church. Each and every one of us is needed in the Lord's church. Each and every one of us can make a difference in the Lord's church. Each and every one of us has a part that we need to share as we work together in the Lord's church. You know, that proverb has a lot of applications and really has a lot of applications even to us as Christians, to show us that here's this one nail in a horseshoe. And what difference could that one little nail make? And the proverb says it lost an entire kingdom. What difference can one little member make in the Lord's church? You will never know the impact that you have on others this side of eternity. But why limit yourself? Why say, well, I'm not, and fill in the blank. I'm not an elder, so I'll never be able to, and fill in the blank again. Why do we compare ourselves to others? That nail in that horseshoe was as meaningful and needful and made as much of a difference as any other nail in that horseshoe. Same thing for every Christian today. You are important. You make a difference. You got your Bibles? You have them open to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. I want us to just park ourselves here in just this one verse this morning. If you believe it, we're just going to limit ourselves. We're going to try. We're not really. But we're going to limit ourselves just to one verse in this sermon today. But when we leave here today, I want us to say, what's my part? What part do I have in the Lord's church? And am I playing my part? Am I doing my share? First thing we're going to see when we turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 is the importance of each and every member of the Lord's church. Look at the verse where the Bible says, from whom the whole body, that's talking about the church, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. What is it that's holding the body together? By what every joint supplies. I want you to see what this passage says about the whole body. That the whole body has every joint supplying what is needed to keep that body together. Every member of the body is important. This morning, what I want us to do, we're going to look at 3 points today. And for each of these 3 points, we're going to look at 5 elements of these points, and we're going to do it briefly. We're going to look at a commentary on this verse. Do you know that there's a New Testament commentary on Ephesians 4 and verse 16? There's another passage that Paul wrote that is a commentary on this one verse. And then we're going to say, what are some comparisons that we can make? We're going to ask a question. We're going to make a New Testament connection. And then we're going to draw a conclusion. We're going to do all of those very briefly for these three points this morning. But the first thing I want you to do is we think about the importance of every member. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to hold your finger in Ephesians chapter 4, because we're going to be right back to Ephesians chapter 4. But I want you to turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is actually a New Testament commentary on Ephesians chapter 4. You know what a commentary is, right? You have commentaries in your home that have a commentary on the book of Acts that's written by a particular man and gives his comments, his thoughts on the book of Acts. We have an inspired commentary in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to talk about the importance of every member. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning verse 12. For as the body, that's talking about the church, for as the body is one and has many members. Here's the body. It's one, but it has many members. Are each of those members important? But all of the members of that one body being members are many, and they're of that one body, and so is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Greek, you're a part of that one body. It doesn't matter if you are a slave or if you are a free man. You are equally a part of that one body. What does that say? Every member is important. It doesn't matter who you are. Because we've all been made to drink of the one Spirit. Verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member, but it's many. What's that saying? It's saying that every member of the body of Christ is important. That's what Ephesians 4 verse 16 is saying. It's that here's the whole body, and it's being held together by what every joint supplies. Think about your body. How many joints do you have in your body? You want to count them for a minute? How many joints do you have in your body? And could you tell me which one of them you could live without? Which joint in your body is more important than the other? I'll give you a minute to think about it. Could you live without your elbow? You'd have a hard time eating if you didn't have your elbow working to bend it. Which joint would you look and say, well, that one's just not all that important to me? The reality is that your body is made up of joints, and every single one of them is important. That's why God gave them to you. What's the point? The point is that if every joint in your body is important, every member of Christ's body is important. We can't live without any one of you. We don't want to survive. We don't want to go forward without any member of the body of Christ, any more than we would want to go forward without some member, some joint in our body. So here's the question today. Here's the question as we think about the importance of each and every member of the body of Christ. The question is, what are you doing as a part of the body of Christ? If you're the joint, if you're one of the joints that's joined in fitting the body of Christ together, what are you doing? We know what our elbows do and our shoulders do and our knees do and our ankles do. We know what they do. What are you doing in the body of Christ? Somebody says, well, I don't know what I can do. Somebody says, I don't know what works there are in the church that I can be involved in. Some of you haven't been listening to me for the last 5 minutes because you've been looking down at this piece of paper that was kindly given to you by the ushers. And so now you're paying attention to me because everybody's laughing and you're wondering, what did I miss? So here's a piece of paper that's been given to you that shows you what are the works that are here at Palm Beach Lakes. What are some programs that are here at Palm Beach Lakes that I could be involved in? And you'll notice that along with these works, along with these programs, there's a name over there. Somebody that's in charge of a particular work or program in this church. Do you want something to do? Do you not have enough to do in the Lord's church? Look through these pages today. Find something where you might be interested in working and contact the person that's listed there and say, hey, Put me to work. I see you're in charge of XYZ. I love XYZ. I want to be involved in XYZ. Put me to work. Isn't that what we need to do in the church? The Bible says every member is important. You are important. What work are you doing in the church? What work could you be doing in the church? Here are opportunities out here in front of us. How about today you look through and say, here's something that I would like to do in the church so that I can be a vital part of the work at Palm Beach Lakes. What connection? What connection can we make of this to the rest of the New Testament? How does this fit in with the rest of the New Testament? If we had time, and we won't take the time, but if we had time, we'd look at the end of Romans chapter 16, or the end of the book of Romans and Romans 16, we'd look at the end of Colossians chapter 4. Both of those passages are interesting to me. Because Paul is closing out letters that he's writing to churches, and in Romans chapter 16, he greets 26 different people. He names 26 different people. He had never been to that church, but he names 26 different people there in the church at Rome, and he sends greetings to them. At the end of the book of Colossians, he mentions 10 people by name, and he talks about, many of them, he talks about the work that they are doing in the church. What's the point? Why would Paul take time and space to list people's names? Because everybody is important. Every single one of those 26 in the book of Romans, every single one of those 10 in the book of Colossians, every single one of them was important to the body of Christ. What's our conclusion? So are you. You need to believe today that you are an important part of the church of Jesus Christ. And if you're a member here at Palm Beach Lakes this morning, you need to know you, whoever you are an important part of the body of Christ. But you go back to Ephesians 4 and verse 16. We not only learn in this verse about the importance of each member, we learn about the independence of each member. And somebody says, well, how do we see that in Ephesians 4 and verse 16? The New King James says, by which every part does its share. Now, these guys are going to walk down the aisles and give you another piece of paper. Can you just put it down and hang on for just a minute until we get to it? They're doing what they're supposed to do, but just put it down and hang on for a second. So, verse 16 says, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share. On the screen, you have the New American Standard that says, the proper working of each individual part. You have the importance of each member, but this verse also shows us the independence. That here's this part, 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 and each individual part is to be doing its share. So there's some independence that's going on there. What is our commentary? What does our commentary have to say about this? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What does our commentary say about the independence of members in the body of Christ? Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Did you mark that verse? Verse 15. If the foot, what's that? An individual, independent member of your body. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body because it's not a hand? No. Verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body because it's not an eye? Just because somebody is not another part of the body, does that not make it a part of the body? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, that'd look funny, wouldn't it? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each individual one of them, in the body just as He pleased. What do we learn? We learned that when God looks at the body, He says every member is important. But we also learned that when God looks at the body, He sees the independence of each member that is there and says every member there has a part, an individual part to play. Think about that in relationship, in the comparison to your body. Think about that in relationship to your foot. Is your foot important? Is your hand important? Is your ear important? Is your eye important? Every single part of your body is important. But every single part is not just important, it works independently. Every single part has its purpose, has its function to play. Every single part is designed to do something different than the others, which shows that there's some independence among the body, even your physical body. What about the spiritual body? What about the church? Here in the church, we each have individual talents. Here in the church, we are each able to do things independently sometimes of each other. Don't think this is contradictory to what we just saw, and don't think it's contradictory to the third point we're going to see in just a minute. But God looks down at each individual member of the Lord's church, and He sees a part. He sees you. He says, what are you doing with what you are good at? What are you doing with the opportunities that are right there in your lap? They might not be in somebody else's lap. What are you doing with the opportunities that God has opened right before you in your lap? He looks at you. He sees some independence in the Lord's church, and He says, what are you doing? So here's the question. That is the question. Question is, what are you personally doing for the Lord? This isn't asking, what is Palm Beach Lakes doing for the Lord? That's a different question. What are you personally doing for the Lord? Sometimes people say, well, nobody's ever asked me to do anything in the church. I've been a member of this church for months or years, and nobody's ever asked me to do anything. And I've never been given a task in the church. Okay. Does that mean there's nothing for you to do? Does that mean if somebody has never asked you to do something, that there's no job for you in serving the Lord? Some of you have been very patient. Some of you have not. Some of you have been very patient with your little blue piece of paper. This little blue piece of paper is a little different. These do not work separate from each other. They work in tandem with each other. But this little blue piece of paper list 99 things that you can do for the Lord without anybody ever asking you to do something. If you're somebody who says, well, you know, I just, the deacons have never asked me, the elders, they just haven't asked me to do anything, so I guess if they haven't asked me to do anything, I don't need to be doing anything. Wrong. Here's 99 things that you can do as a Christian without a deacon or an elder or anybody else in the church asking you to do them. And 99%, pretty close, to the 99 things in this can be done by anybody. And I say that because there's one on here that says, help older members of the church with tech stuff. And so that's why it's 99% and not 100%. So there might be something on this list that you can't do, but most of these things in here, every member of the body of Christ can do. So now what's your excuse? God looks down at His body. He looks down at His body and He wants every member actively working. He wants every member doing his or her individual part. And if you've never been asked to do something in a work or a program of the church, that doesn't mean there is nothing for you to do for the Lord. Would you spend some time today, this week, and look through these 99 things and find 50 of them that you can do? Well, maybe not 50. You find more than one. And say, I'm going to do that. I don't have to be asked, and it's not that somebody's going to check up on me. It's not that somebody's going to say, hey, well, how you doing with that? No, this is what I'm doing for the Lord, and in doing it for the Lord, it is at the same time going to benefit the church, the body of Christ. What connection? What connection can we make of this to the New Testament? Let me ask you a couple questions. In Acts 16, who asked Lydia to invite Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke into her home? Who asked her to be hospitable? Who asked her to invite them over for dinner? Nobody. She did it on her own. Why? because that's who she was. In Acts 18, who asked Aquila and Priscilla to take Apollos and to teach him the gospel? What program of the church were they involved in? Who told them they were supposed to do that, or did they just do it? Who asked Barnabas to encourage other Christians? What church program was Barnabas involved in that he was encouraging others? No church program. He was just doing that on his own. Who asked Epaphras to be praying? Colossians chapter 4. Who asked Epaphras to be praying for others in the church? What church program had he signed up for on the volunteer sheet and said, I'll pray for everybody else in the church? Not a one. What's the point? Brother and sister in Christ, there are tons of things we can do in the church, for the church, and for the Lord without somebody else asking us to do it. What are we waiting for? What's our conclusion? You are not only important, that's the first point that we saw, you are responsible for your individual involvement in serving the Lord. What are you doing? What are you doing in serving the Lord? What are you doing for the betterment of the body of Christ in this place and around the world? It's the very purpose for which we have been put on this earth. May I plead with you to look through these and to find where you can serve the Lord even more than you ever have before. The last thing I want us to see in Ephesians chapter 4, and again, this is not contradictory to what we've seen before, but it actually is complementary and brings it all together. We saw the importance, the first part of the verse, we saw the importance of each member. The middle of the verse, we saw the independence of each member. But when you get to the end of the verse, you see the interdependence that the church has for each member. How do we see that? What happens when every member is jointly knit together? What happens when every member is doing its share? The end of the verse says it causes the growth of the body. What do you think about that? How is the body growing? How is the church growing in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16? It's growing by every part doing its share. What does that tell us? That tells us that there is an interdependence that the church has for every member to do every member's part. What does our commentary say? What does our commentary say to us about that part of the interdependence? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, start in verse 19. And if they were all one member, which they're not, but if they were all one member, where would the body be? It's got to have every member, but there's an interdependence. Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, but yet there's one body. And so the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. But wait, the hand is not the eye. No. Just because the hand is not the eye does not mean the eye can say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. What's the point? Every member needs every other member of our physical body. Our physical body needs every other member of our physical body to grow. We need to be operating not independently, but together. And so verse 25, he says, the desire of God is that there be no division in the body. So verse 26 says, if one member of the body suffers, what do the other members do? Celebrate. Yes, wonderful. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to leave you suffering by yourself. What happens when one member of your physical body suffers? Does the rest of the body say, we don't want you anymore? No, the rest of the body rallies around and see, what can we do? If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Every member of your body is needed to operate not independently, but to operate together. Do you have a circular system in your body that is circulating blood? I would ask you to raise your hand if you do, but I don't want you to, everybody's got it. Do you have a respiratory system in your body that is breathing in oxygen and exhaling? carbon dioxide. Do you have one of those systems in your body? Yeah, you do. Do you have a nervous system in your body? Yeah, some of you are really nervous and it's working overtime. Do those systems, are they independent systems? Yes, they are independent systems. But do they work independently? Yes, no. They work interdependently. They interact. And if your circular system, circulating your blood, and your respiratory system, circulating your air, if they don't work together, you don't live. Your body needs every part operating together. The body of Jesus needs every part operating and operating together. So the question is, are you? Are you personally operating in such a way to bring about the growth of the body of Christ? Not just numeric growth, and that's included. Not just growing the church in numbers, but growing spiritually. Growing together with one another. And that's what Ephesians 4 is talking about. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about. Not just the numerical growth, but the body growing stronger together. Your physical body grows stronger when it works together. The spiritual body of Christ grows stronger when it's working together. Are you doing that? If the church was relying upon you for its growth, how would the church be doing? If the rest of the church looked like you and did what you do, what would the church look like? That's not designed to put anybody on a guilt trip. That's just designed to make us look inside and to say, God wants me to work. Our theme for the month of April, our theme for the year is press on. And our theme is press on to work more in His kingdom. What more can you and I do in the kingdom of Christ? What connection can be made to the rest of the New Testament? If you read through the book of Acts, you will see the church growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. But if you look inside, when did the church grow? The church was growing when the church was working together. In Acts 6, there were widows who needed to be taken care of. And when those widows were taken care of, verse 7 says, the church grew. You go to Acts chapter 9, and there were needs of serving one another in the church. And when those needs were being met and served, Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says, the church grew. When the church found opportunity to teach the gospel to others, the Bible says the church grew. What's happening? The church is working, and it's working together. What's the conclusion? You, each and every one of us, is an integral and an influential, believe it or not, part of the body of Christ. What are you doing in the Lord's church? What are you doing for the Lord? May each of us determine today, I want to work more in His kingdom. And to contact those in this little white booklet that are in charge of the various programs and work, say, put me to work. I want to be involved in what you're doing. And, not or, and look through this little blue sheet and find some things that I can do without anybody else even knowing about it in some cases, but without anybody else even asking me. Thank God for the church. Thank God that when He saved us, He did not put us into isolation somewhere, but He put us into His body, into His church, where we can live together, worship together, where we can serve and work together in His church. Are you a part of His church? Are you a part of His body? If you're not, you can become a part of His body today. This very day, you can become a part of the body that we've been reading about in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You read throughout it in the New Testament. And when you become a part of it, you can become a part of it and do your share to make the church everything that God wants it to be. The Bible says, in order to become a part of His body, I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Having that faith in my heart, I need to repent. Repentance is simply a decision that says, I look at the sin, that I've committed. I realize that my sin put Jesus on the cross. And because of my godly sorrow for what my sin has done to me, my life, and to Jesus, because of that godly sorrow, it leads me to repent. That says, I want to stop sinning. I want to turn away from sin. And I want to turn my life over to God. Are you ready to make that decision today? It's a decision that will impact the rest of your life. But it's a decision that will make the rest of your life the most blessed life it can be. If you're ready to make that decision today, the New Testament teaches us that those who did so confessed their faith in Jesus. And every person in the New Testament who ever became a part of the body of Christ, they were baptized. They were immersed in water. And at that very moment that they were baptized, the Bible says God washed away their sins. They still had their sins all the way up until the time that they were baptized. They didn't get rid of their sins before. Their sins were not forgiven when they believed. Their sins were not forgiven when they repented. Their sins were not forgiven when they confessed. But their sins were forgiven when they did those things and then were baptized. If you've never done that, would you do it today? We're going to sing a song that says, "Where He leads me, I will follow." Will you do it? If you'll be baptized, He'll add you to His body, to His church. He'll write your name in heaven. And then He calls upon us to do our share. Are you a part of His church? Are you a working part of His body? If you're not and you need to get your life right with the Lord even this day and hear Him calling you right now as together we stand and sing.